This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I definitely solidified some good thoughts I had in my mind about myself in this league. That voice of doubt can be really loud sometimes. For a lot of people, it can be really loud. To just shut that voice off and just kick it to the side for one evening, you know, making a couple plays, it definitely helped me with that.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. John Kaminsky, the fourth round pick of your Atlanta Falcons, who was impressive, one of the players that will stand out from the Falcons preseason opener at the Hall of Fame against the Denver Broncos. Welcome you back into the Kia Studios on this game day Sunday. It is a game day Sunday.
That's what we're waiting for.
Braves are playing later on today with Cincinnati. Hopefully they get those guys and ship them out of town. We're tired of them.
Yeah.
and of course,
Mr. Crenshaw is not a fan of Cincinnati. Not just because they're an opposing team. He just don't like them. Period.
Yeah.
Because there's something about that team, the way they come at
the
Braves
and you know, they don't matter. They're not contending. Let's just get them out of town.
They're the Lenny Dykstra of MLB teams.
Just like they won't go away. Just leave. That's what we want today. Of course, today, later today, the doors will open, the gates will open at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, and fans will go in and get a chance to watch the Falcons work out today. And it'll be Military Appreciation Day. It's very special.
Yes, it will.
And Sports Radio 92.9 The Game will be there. Greg and I, we plan on heading down there when we finish our program. So we look forward
holding
to
holding an umbrella.
Yeah, holding an umbrella.
We got some rain coming, folks.
Yeah, we look forward to to see. Well, after it comes through, I think it might clear out a little bit in the afternoon. So we hope so anyway.
Speaking of the Atlanta Falcons and going out there later on, we're going to hear from D-Led, the 9 o'clock hour.
Yes. D'Orlando Ledbetter, who was who was there. We'll get his thoughts and impressions from what happened at the Hall of Fame game and what he saw while he was in Canton.
Listen, again, that whole Tony Gonzalez thing, I'm still just shaking my head the fact that Matt Ryan was sitting next to Jeff Bezos and how that happened. Now, listen, this guy is a NFL MVP,
right,
Super Bowl caliber quarterback.
Right.
And there's no reason in the world he shouldn't rub elbows with the top of the top, tip top, and all that.
Right.
But you just didn't see them two sitting. And moreover, when Tony Gonzalez mentioned Matt Ryan – and how much he enjoyed playing with him and wanted to give him a shout out, and the camera hit Matt Ryan, it was as if the richest dude in the world was trying to do a photo bomb. He ain't got enough going for him. Let me lean my head over a little bit. That's the way it looked at it to me. Not, I mean, it wasn't blatant, but it looked as if he was just making sure, okay, I'm in the shot.
You do see me here.
Because people are talking about it. So what's he sitting next to Jeff Bezos for? But God bless him. You know? speaking of Atlanta quarterbacks, how are we feeling about what the Falcons had to do with Matt Sims, bringing him in.
Yeah, that's a move.
Bergen had a good hit.
Mate, because of Benkert and a foot injury. And
Toe injury. Yeah. And he was the leading rusher in the game, too.
He showed well. A lot of people said, you know, should he be the number three, should he be the number two over
exactly over Shop.
Shop, obviously, the more experienced. But he showed well in the game, and now we're bringing in Matt Sims.
Fresh off the AAF.
Who we last saw? Why is that funny?
You
man?
Think? Because I wonder if there's memorabilia from that league that you'd want to keep. Because I remember
there was a bunch of it that was left. I'm not sure what happened to it. But of course, they were playing.
Some of it was sitting on the floor in the hotel rooms. They were playing from different teams.
Well, they were playing from Georgia State Stadium, and so when they left, a lot of the stuff was, you know, in the area where they were going to be selling it for people to come in. I don't know who went in and got it or where it ended up. But, that was a question about all those type things. Those are collectibles now, I'm sure. But he was a part of the team while it played here in Atlanta, and now he'll get a chance to be a backup with the Falcons.
A 30-year-old backup. Hey, you know.
Okay.
How old
do you want him to be?
What I want him to be? Yeah. I want him to be 24, 25.
Well, you've seen how old is backups?
Down
through the years.
Okay, I get what you're saying, but you asked me how old you'd want him to be.
Yeah.
And you go, you always want him to be young.
Yeah.
Okay, let's say 26.
Really.
That's a good time. You know, so you got some experience.
You know, for years
but he's still
was a backup
young.
Quarterback for the Raiders. George Blanda.
That's true. But you can't play. That football was completely different. He'd go in and win games at like 120 years old. I get it. Or kick the field goal that would do it.
I'm just saying.
He kicked the field goal and he played quarterback. He was in his 40s.
Right.
But he also got the you-know-what knocked out of him a couple times. And I don't know if he's – well, he's no longer with us. But, yeah, I get what you're saying. But you want – if you can get a young, experienced quarterback as your backup, why not take that? As opposed to a guy who's got the knowledge, i.e. Matt Schaub.
Yeah.
But – not the most versatile guy in the world, you know, or fleet of foot.
Yeah, fleet of foot. Well, yeah, I don't think you're worrying about that with him. You're worrying about just someone that can execute and can manage the game right. If Matt Ryan is not there. And I think Matt Schaub is very capable of doing that. And, you know, Matt Sim is getting another shot. And so we'll see.
Yeah, I didn't mean that, you know, when I said 30, that it was something to worry about. No, because, listen, I'm not worried at all about this offense, period. Period. I'm just, you know, I'm not. As long as things stay healthy on the defensive side of the ball, this team should show out the way people, you know, you don't want to say on paper this is what this team should do, but what happened last year was an enigma, wouldn't you say? It was something you didn't see, but it was a byproduct of the injuries that they sustained.
This adds a little something, though. We were talking about the conversation, the barbershop conversation, about your frontline players and how much they play. What happens now with your quarterback situation? You're going to bring in Sims. How much will he play in this exhibition game in Miami? How much are you going to – does this change how much you play Matt Ryan and Matt Schaub in this game coming up? Because you would figure it will be another game where Ben Kirk would get a lot of playing time. You know, so that, to me, that's where this figures in. We'll see quickly. You know,
yes, we will.
You know, we'll see a whole lot of Matt Schaub next week in Miami, because you're not going to get a lot of Matt Ryan out there for sure.
This is what people have been talking about, though, whether it's up here or people that we talk to, friends of yours, the people that we work with talking about what their friends are saying, how they feel about, because they're fans, and they, you know, it's sort of mixed emotions about, well, you don't want your top, like, you know, you don't want to see Julio get hurt, and, you know, but he's got to get, you know, they talk about football shape. You can stay in the weight room all day long. This is what football players say.
Yeah.
Right? You stay in the weight room all day long. But to get in football shape, you got to get hit.
Yeah.
Correct?
Well, you know, with any sport, you got to be doing the sport. You could talk about a basketball player. You can work out and run treadmills, all, nothing like going up and down a floor of basketball to be in basketball shape.
Right.
You know, that's the one thing.
But you would think that to a person, nobody would have an issue with Julio Jones sitting out the preseason. You know they're going to sit out the first game. So we'll talk about the top line players, right? They're going to sit out the first game. They're going to sit out the last game. So we got 2 and 3 to see them get some work done. And you got to figure that the quarterback is going to get more work than the wide receiver who you may be holding up, because he's got to work with some of the younger players and get involved a little bit more. But that's not necessarily the conversation. So, again, getting back to what we talked about, Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. We wanted to go out and find out what people are saying about what they are blatantly talking about this year. This year, more than ever, teams are saying, no, so-and-so ain't playing.
Yeah.
We're going to sit them out. And how do you feel about your favorite players? We'll start with, you know, with the Falcons, because there was some Cowboys conversation, too,
yeah, there was.
This offseason. But went to the barbershop, went over to Off the Hook around the corner, and got a thought of a couple guys, just quick little snippet, about some of the top players sitting out the entire preseason.
Not at all. It's time for the rookie to show us they want to be on the team.
I don't want to see Julio get out there and break his leg in the first play in real
that's
football.
That's the risk you take.
That's the risk you take, but that's why you got preseason.
No, that's why you got
he can get out there
mini
two
camp,
plays.
Training camp.
Stretch
to get
your
ready.
Legs. You know, how many times you done seen him get up limp early in the season? You know what I mean? I played ball. Matter of fact, I'm one of the best football players you've never seen.
You've never seen.
And yet, if you have to see Maurice, you would – have a snicker. Yeah, but that's what people – it's kind of 50-50. You know, some folks want to see him. Some folks, you know, the hardcore fans. Listen, most across the board going – it was 50-50 in the barbershop. Yeah. But the Falcons fans across the board are like, cool, let Julio just sit there and just watch all preseason.
Yeah. Because you know what you're getting. People want to see him in the regular season. You want to see him in games that count. I just think this is a trend that we're going to see more of, especially with – player salaries, guys want to be paid more. They're seeing what the NBA guys are getting.
You see what happened yesterday?
They want to get more of that.
Draymond?
You know? Yeah.
Draymond got his extension.
You know what I mean? And so these guys are watching this and saying, you know, we're in a business too. You know, we want to be more and because of the way contracts are done in the NFL, they got to get it when they sign the contract. Right. They got to get their money up front. They got to get that. That's the money that you know that you have. If you're going to invest in that, I know people talk about the business of football. You got to get your players ready to play and have timing and reps on the field in game time with the lights on and live action. But from the business side of football, nobody's going to buy a ticket to see a man on crutches. You know, people are going to pay top dollar for a ticket. They're paying to see your best players play in games that matter. And that's
the key, that in games that matter.
Yes.
But yet they're still charging the same thing for preseason games.
I know.
And listen, we got a lot of bells and whistles.
Those games do matter for different reasons.
I understand that.
For evaluation.
And we have a stadium which is friendly to, if you don't want to watch, if you're not expecting to see Julio on the sidelines, but yet you just want to be in a building when the Falcons are practicing or playing this particular game, and yet we can go around at Mercedes-Benz and see this. They have enough attractions going on.
Well, yeah.
You don't have that at other stadiums.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering.
Well, the stadiums are getting them. The one out in Los Angeles, that's going to have all kind of stuff going on.
It's going to have. You can name a few, but not all of them.
I'm sure the one in Vegas, it's going to have a whole lot of things that go on other than football. Something like, the one-armed bandits. They're going to have a few of them around the place. That's the thing.
Weather being an issue, you want to go out and watch a Buffalo game if you're a fan of that team? I'm just walking across the board.
Right.
All the NFL teams are charging for these games that they're not going to have their top flight players on. And that was the question, and how you feel about that.
I do my best to avoid Buffalo.
Well, all of us do.
Buffalo.
But the people that love Buffalo love them some Buffalo.
Yeah.
And they'll fight anybody that says something bad about them.
Okay, well, they can have that. I won't fight with them. They can have that.
Okay. We'll come a little closer. People say the same thing about Tennessee. Now, they're going to make some noise this year. I'm not going out to that stadium.
Yeah, Tennessee,
Titans,
that's a nice stadium. It's a nice stadium, nice spot right there on the river, right on the Cumberland River, downtown Nashville. That's nice, man. You never been up there?
I'll meet you at BB King's.
Well, let's road trip.
I'll meet you at BB King's. Trip. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Yeah. We haven't got too much into the Hall of Fame speeches and what's going on, other than Jeff Bezos sitting next to Matt Ryan. Ed Reed, man. You mentioned Champ Bailey, but Ed Reed, the thing about his speech was not so much of what he said, and he said a lot of great stuff as far as I'm concerned. He had a wonderful speech. But I didn't hear it. Maybe he said it, but I missed it. I didn't hear him mention Ray Lewis. And if he did, he didn't mention him that much.
Well,
I don't remember him.
I believe he mentioned him, but I don't think it's – how much did you want to hear mentioned?
Well, I mean, he mentioned a lot of other players and people that were instrumental in his career and in his success and, Ray, these guys were teammates on the same side of the ball. Yep. And the other guy, and he's in the Hall of Fame.
Right.
He mentioned Jonathan Ogden. I hadn't seen Jonathan Ogden smile in forever. He talked about that. It was just something that maybe I tapped into it, because I did. It already started when I tuned in, but it seemed like he had just started, because I heard the athlete's prayer, which, by the way, we got to play
that
morning.
That was nice.
We got to see if we can get that.
So that's something that he said before every game.
I didn't hear. Do we have it? Okay. You do it? Okay. You want to play that going out if you've not heard it?
Okay.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's talk about what's coming up next. We're going to leave you with that and Ed Reed saying that. But
you talk about a big week in esports.
That's what I'm saying.
What a week.
Since we have been doing an esports segment,
there
has never been more conversation in mainstream media than this past week and what has happened.
Yeah.
And we've got the perfect guy to comment on it and what we can foresee coming up next.
Mm.
So coming up next, we got Cole Gibson.
Yep.
He is our esports insider. But if you didn't hear it last night, Ed Reed, induction into the NFL Hall of Fame, started off his speech with this.
The athlete's prayer. Lord, please clear my head of all distractions and my heart of burdens I may bear, so I may perform my very best, knowing you'll always be there. Please lift me up before the moment, so through your eyes I may see and have a clear understanding as the game unfolds before me. With great courage, I will meet this challenge, as you would have me to, but keep me humble and remind me that my strength comes from knowing you. That when all eyes are upon me at the end of this big game, I would turn the eyes to you, O Lord, in the glory of your name. Amen.
It's 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Morning, Georgia.
Morning.
Sam and Greg on a game day, game practice two.
Sunday. Game practice two.
On a wet Sunday. Man, if you get this Braves game in, this is one of those games where you kind of want Greg Maddux pitching or a Maddux type pitching.
Yeah.
Not because of the quality, just with the speed, because around 2 o'clock they're expecting the skies to open up. And that could put a damper on anything going on outside.
Yep. And the Braves have had that already once this week earlier. But a game was stopped in the seventh inning, and they said, all right, folks, that's enough rain. It's not going to stop. Y'all go home.
Question for you. You know how we talk about birthdays and we celebrate that person's achievements?
Right.
Yesterday was Tom Brady's birthday. We're talking about that and, you know whose birthday it is today?
Who's that?
And do we celebrate their achievements? Roger Clemens.
Wow.
I'm just asking.
But it is his
birthday. I'm just asking.
Yeah.
Hello.
You acknowledge him.
Okay, I just did.
Okay, that's enough.
Let's move on.
That's enough.
Normally when we bring Cole on here, it's all about, you know, let's start off and tell us what's going on in the world of esports.
We already know.
Internationally, nationally, and locally. But yeah, exactly. The conversation across the mainstream sports world this past week has been about this 16-year-old kid winning $3 million. The kid who came in second place, I believe, got 1.5.
Yeah.
So there's that, and there's another piece of news that happened, but let's start with that and want to welcome Cole Gibson and join us here on
Morning,
Sports
Cole.
Radio 92.9
Morning,
The
man.
Game.
Morning, guys. Greg, you're playing with dangerous water.
How's
the
that?
Roger Clemens things, man.
What? Why is
you're
that?
You're playing with dangerous water with Roger Clemens. I mean, the legacy. I'm just saying. I also acknowledge him, but I don't know if I'd acknowledge him on the radio.
No, oh, no, hey, come on now. You talk about the famous and the infamous, man.
Yep, that's it.
So,
very true.
How do you feel? Because you actually touched on this last week, Cole, when you were joining us. How do people like yourself in your world, and that's where you live, the people who, you know, in the esports world, when they see mainstream media giving love to your sport in a way that they've never done before? In fact, in the minds of a lot of people, these guys have been sort of disingenuous because of the way mainstream media has talked about esports in the past. But now, the embracement that they are giving you and the love, how do you guys feel about that?
A lot of people, if you're in my position where I've been in esports for a few years now, you know, I've been around the block, it's almost like a half glass empty. We play it sometimes like the kid in school that is forging a path, the rebel, you know, because like we don't need your acknowledgement at this point. We're already our own thing. If you're jumping on, it's great. The thing about Fortnite, which is ironic in the Fortnite World Cup, is we recognize and appreciate that it brings all these eyes in the esports, and you know, everyone's looking at it. It's, you know, biggest tournament of the year as far as getting non-endemic brands and people to watch the you know, the thing that we love. But it's funny because a lot of us, I guess you could call us old heads of esports. I'm not even an old head, but you know, it's age is relative in esports. We look at it as is it an esport? There's a lot of criteria that it misses and some that it hits, and it's kind of bittersweet that the thing that gets people into the thing that we love so much is something that a lot of us don't even really consider an esport because of the way that Epic Games, the developer, runs the competitive aspect of the game and the way that they treat their competitive players. And and a lot of it has to do with that bittersweetness, has to do with the fact that we want people to get the true esports experience. We're talking about Overwatch. We're talking about League of Legends. We want your first experience to be the super serious stuff, just like a football fan will want their first experience to be for their son to be going to watch your favorite team play, not watching like arena football. So it's kind of it's a tough pill to swallow because we just have to, at the end of the day, realize that, hey, this is good for esports in the long run. It's getting more eyes on it, you know, and at the end of the day, no matter how people decide to talk about it, it's a good thing.
That's why I'm going to say, isn't it a good thing just to bring folk to the table? I used to get irritated. It wouldn't throw you back a few years. When, like, rappers would come on Arsenio Hall's show and put down people like MC Hammer because they weren't rapping like they were rapping. Okay, well, MC Hammer, ain't he bringing other folks to the table? So, and this
right.
Bringing people to the table, isn't that all good still?
It is. I mean, you know, some people might stop the buck at Fortnite, but others in that crowd that watched over the weekend might say, you know what, this was great, but this only happened once, and I need more. Is there something else I can watch? And then they go search and find their favorite game and find out their favorite game has a competitive league they can watch or some streamers they can watch 24/7. So at the end of the day, it's great. I just think a lot of people, they just want to make sure it's clear to the new people coming in that Fortnite is just the tip of the iceberg. It's not even the thing that, you know, we will say it like barely qualifies as an e-sport, but there is more to us than Fortnite because, you know, the dancing and the giggling and the silliness and stuff like that. There's more to us. We are very serious because at the end of the day, you know, I was listening earlier this week to the midday show, and there's still some trepidation about e-sports. You know, it's like, oh, didn't think I'd have to ever talk about this, about e-sports. And it's like, you don't want to go from not only are they hesitant to have a conversation about it, period, but then at the same time, when they do, it's about this game called Fortnite where it's kind of silly, and then it paints this picture of e-sports is this silly landscape where, you know, nerdy gamers that are really young, 13, 14, 15, can go quit school, abandon everything that they, you know, the society tells them they need to do because some of that stuff is important, and go play video games all day and dance and make jokes and all of this other stuff. So it's just, we just want people to get more substance than just what Fortnite has to offer, I guess you can say. But it is very, very good that they're bringing eyes in to watch and to learn, you know, that esports even exists and to acknowledge that it exists.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
Tell us how you really feel.
And Cole Gibson bringing it like he's never brought it before. This is like, for the first time, he's come off like a professor, a college professor who's talking about some students who have been cutting classes and getting achievements through, you know, like Cliff Notes and all that stuff. Yeah, y'all need to go and learn the basics. And so it was, no, man, listen, you want people to be better. I mean, that's your overall message. You want people to be better and have a better understanding about it. All right, so Fortnite wrote a couple big checks this past week to kids who barely have a driver's license, and that got on the radar of a lot of people.
Do you think that does something like, well, this is the second year, we're starting the second year for the Georgia High School Association to have esports as a varsity letter sport. Do you think something like this gets more kids to want to sign and be a part of their esports teams in school?
For sure. I think that, you know, if a kid, you know, they want to know, does my school have a Fortnite team? Because everybody, when you're young, you think you're discussing at a game that you love. And so you're going to want to jump in it and just play it and, you know, shovel in hundreds of hours and then hope that your school has a team. I think what we have to talk about, the bigger narrative, is when it comes to people actually making money. Because eventually, you know, some of those kids that got six figures in money haven't even graduated high school yet. Some just did. And it's a question of, at the college level especially, where the NCAA is squeamish about letting players make their own money that's not scholarship-based, and we're trying to set up different organizations to mirror the NCAA but with less red tape, is how are we going to make sure that these kids don't get, you know, tricked and fooled by some big agent or by some big entity, a team that might come and be like, hey, we want to sign you. Because it's interesting, one of the kids that won the duo tournament for the Fortnite World Cup, $1.5 million was supposed to go to him, and he only got $400,000 of it. His team got the rest because in his contract there was no exact number of how much of the percentage of the pot they could take. It just said, we will take a percentage. And then the team decided after he won, after the fact, how much they were going to get. So out of $1.5 million, life-changing money, $400,000 is still pretty life-changing, you know, and his parents told him, you get to touch all of that. That's all yours. But that means that team took home over $500,000, and the majority of his prize pot, where in other esports, it's varied. Some people don't take any money from their players because they make the money in sponsorship. Some organization will take almost all of the money because they'll say, oh, we compensate you in housing and food and clothes and, you know, God knows what in sponsorship. So right, it's going to open up a narrative about contract law in esports and how we're going to get to a place where everyone is treated fairly so that when those kids come up from high school and college, they're not getting gypped and losing most of their money. And this opportunity turns into something that they regret because of that.
See, there's a whole lot of education that still needs to be going on with this because esports as a in total is still sort of like the Wild West. Even though the people that are in it know how it works, but as it's expanding, it's getting crazier. Cole Gibson joining Sam and Greg here, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com as we talk esports. All right, that was one big story, the kids getting paid the way they were. But the other story that came out this past week was Ninja. This is the LeBron James of esports, and he, like LeBron, switched teams. I mean, this thing is, I mean, to put it in perspective for our audience who don't follow esports, case in point right here, Sam and us, but was this KD leaving Oklahoma City and going to Golden State, LeBron leaving Cleveland and going to LA, that kind of level move?
It's on that level. I'll say like this. It's like, imagine if Don Lemon or Tucker Carlson or Rachel Maddow decided.
We don't bring up those guys here. They talk politics.
Yeah, well, it's just for the analogy. Just bear with me. Imagine if they said, I'm going to leave CNN, Fox, MSNBC, you know, and I'm just going to go to the opposite network or the rival network. That's how big it was on the scale of just comparison. Now, Tyler Blevins Ninja, he is the LeBron James of esports, and just his, not to say that he's good at everything like LeBron James, but his popularity is near unmatched in the realm of esports because he's a likable guy. But he left, and there's a lot of speculation around this. He didn't really give many reasons. All he really did was put a video on his Twitter and said, hey, Mixer.com/Ninja. I don't know where Microsoft found this money to pay him because it had to have been a huge contract to rip him away from Twitch. But this is a shakeup like the one that shook up the telecom industry when you had all these big conglomerates popping up and they're all looking for a reason why people need to go to their platform to use it, to watch from it. And when you pluck Twitch's number one top-selling commodity, I mean, they unverified Ninja 5 minutes after he made the announcement. That's how mad Twitch was. But this is a bigger narrative on Ninja had to leave for a reason. And that reason probably had to deal with the way that Twitch was, you know, dealing with streamers, dealing with some of its viewers and its audience, and how for a while they were the top dog. They were the only dog in the race. Yeah. And now with Mixer there, when you introduce new competition, and now that competition is serious. Before, Mixer was just kind of like the little engine that could. They wanted to one day challenge Twitch but didn't know how to do it. When they can rip Ninja away from Twitch, that's red flags everywhere. But what's going on inside of Twitch that they can't keep this guy under contract? I'm telling you, there's going to be some really, really big interesting stuff and shakeups coming up in the next 2 years off of this, and I am very interested to see what the inside story was behind this, because Ninja didn't have to make the switch. He already had enough money, period.
Well, he's done that.
There had to have been more.
And the first thing he did was invite the 16-year-old that won Fortnite last week, one of the first people that he called.
Yep.
So it's worth watching and seeing what goes on going forward. Cole, we thank you for getting up this morning and sharing some knowledge on a very eventful week. For something that you love and something that you bring us information on.
I had to call him on. When this started popping, we like got him on the phone on like Thursday. He's like, you got to prepare for this Sunday. Get ready, man.
So thanks so much.
Absolutely, man.
Thanks so much again.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Cole, enjoy your day, man. We're going to reach back out to him next week. But again, since we've been talking esports, have you seen a week like this past one?
Nah. That's just amazing. And once again, Cole is social.
Go ahead, throw it out there.
At ATL Esports Guy, at ATL Esports Guy on Twitter.
The event that took place yesterday is something that we are trying to get here in Atlanta at the BB&T. And a woman that we talked about, especially during one of the big major events, had a big win yesterday. That's coming up next. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sam and Greg on a game day Sunday morning where we take a second and pay tribute to those celebrating a birthday. I mentioned Roger Clemens earlier.
Yeah.
We're still debating on whether or not we're going to celebrate it. Jeff Gordon.
Yeah.
Born on this day.
Okay. We'll celebrate, Jeff.
Mary Decker Slaney. Remember that name?
Yeah, remember that name. Remember that
Got
name.
Knocked over by, okay, here for extra credit, who was the?
Zola Budd.
Very good. Control of the board stays with Mr. Crenshaw.
Barefoot runner from South Africa.
Wasn't she, though?
Yeah.
Trip Mary, America's sweetheart. But here's the story. I did not know this. So I mentioned another birthday. Cleon Jones.
Yeah.
Outfielder for the Miracle 69 Mets.
Amazons.
And then you said what to me?
I'm distantly related to him. Distantly related.
But, explain. But anyway. You are related to Cleon Jones.
I'm distantly related to Cleon Jones.
Okay.
Because my grandmother's maiden name was Maggie Jones, and she's from Mobile. Okay. So she's a cousin of
And his. He is from Mobile, Alabama.
Yeah, Alabama. Now, she was my father's stepmother, but there's only grandma I knew, you know, growing up. So she used to tell me about him.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Let me tell you the story.
To Cleon Jones.
Okay. I'm not going to do it this guy.
Met the man. You know, I never met him.
He's still with us?
I believe so, yes.
Okay.
They just had this is the big celebration year for the 69 Mets. So he was at some of the events that they had.
Cub fans acknowledge that, by the way.
Well, when the Braves went to New York, those guys were there.
Kurt Busch's birthday? Jeff Gordon and Kurt Busch?
And Kurt
Busch. Same day. See?
There you go.
On this day.
We're getting the NASCAR.
John Riggins, too.
Oh.
Who famously called the Supreme Court Justice Sandy Baby.
Ooh.
You remember that? That was a deal.
Yeah.
Sandra Day O'Connor sitting on the Supreme Court. He's playing for the Washington Redskins, and I forgot the context of how he came out with it, but he called Sandra Day O'Connor in an interview Sandy Baby.
Yeah.
It was.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have to remember the context or look it up, but that's what
Wasn't
always
something
pops
when
to
they
mind.
Visited, they were visiting the president.
Probably.
Or something.
Yeah. He's in Washington.
Yeah. I think I remember that distantly.
The first female Supreme Court Justice,
right.
He calls her Sandy Baby. Some 60s Frankie Avalon movie.
Oh, my goodness.
Something happened, and speaking, we just had Cole Gibson, who brought it like he never has before in talking about esports.
Yeah.
And what is going on.
My thing, and I know that is something that's happening, even with all the television attention, because we've heard before, the people who've been into it for a long time, they're kind of cool with it where it is. They're kind of cool with it being on Twitch.
He was a bit snobbish.
You know,
he was a bit snobbish.
And so I'm like, but then it's bringing more people under the tent.
Exactly.
You know, but
like take a page from Don King. No matter what you say about me, long as you just keep tuning in.
Yeah, you know, bringing more folk under the tent, they'll discover the other things. You get them up under the tent. So that was my point with him. I understand what he's saying.
Absolutely.
But that's why esports is being played in different places, in different venues. This was played at Arthur Ashe Stadium at the National Tennis Center in New York, which will host the U.S. Open in a few weeks.
Right.
They were doing a different purpose with that big stadium. It is the biggest tennis stadium on the planet, and this is where they had the Fortnite Championship for the $3 million winner.
And it looked – well, one in Australia looked incredible.
Well, they played one Australian Open. Then when Australia, they played a Fortnite tournament during the Australian Open as well.
I think that's a nice kind of connection. That marriage works out perfectly. You got nothing but young folks playing tennis.
Yeah.
And if they want to connect themselves to a major worldwide of sport, why not?
Yeah,
you can get lost at a soccer match. Not at a tennis tournament.
No,
you're right there. So
we'll see. Speaking of tennis tournament and young people.
By the way, one more thing that Cole did.
What?
Did you hear the shot he took at arena football?
Yeah.
He was on a roll this morning.
Well,
He was on a roll.
You know what? Being a jazz person.
That's right. Give it to him, baby.
Coltrane wasn't the easiest thing for me to get into and follow.
He's talking about John Coltrane, by the way.
John Coltrane.
Okay.
For me, it had to be like Grover Washington, David Sanborn. That got me in.
Right.
I got to know about Coltrane. But
Miles Davis.
The Coltrane was way over my head.
Right.
So for some folks, you got to get an entry point.
That was a very good analogy.
Is all I'm saying.
That was a very good analogy.
You know what I mean? So that's all I'm saying. So
speaking of young folks, he just kind of took a shot at arena football.
Yeah, arena football.
Tried, I'm not having him bring Tucker Carlson in our show.
Yeah, no, we ain't having none of that stuff.
He want to bring that in.
Yeah, he's down to dial with that one. Anyway, we talk about young people and tennis, and our youngest tennis celebrity in the world made news and won her first WTA title last night. And that is a 15-year-old Corey Coco Gauff playing doubles in the tournament, the City Open up in Washington, D.C., along with another teenager, Catherine McNally, who is 17. And the two of them won the women's double championship. So Coco Gauff has her first WTA title. This is a doubles title. A lot of people, like I said, last Sunday were skeptical about them inviting her to come and play this tournament, giving her a wild card spot into the qualifying tournament. She won the two qualifying rounds to make it to the main draw. She lost first round of that tournament, as did Sloane Stephens, as did somebody was up there that were watching and didn't make it through the first round of that tournament for the women's side. The men's side has turned out to be quite interesting. But still, she was the winner of the women's final, so that is great for her now.
Is that the tune-up, the only one she's going to put in before the U.S. Open?
That's the other question.
And how many more does she have before her birthday? Because she's got a limit to – it's not the end of this calendar year, if I remember you telling me correctly.
It's her next birthday.
Which is in March?
Yeah, March. March of next year.
Okay.
So she has a cap on how many tournaments she can play. I think it's probably like six. Other, this one may have counted as one she just played.
So, okay. So you do you play the U.S. Open. All right. You get a tune-up in, and you go – actually, if she could, why not play one more? And then you do the U.S. Open. So that knocks out – now you're down to four, okay? Then you take a little time off for the holidays, get a tune-up in before you go to Australia and hit that one because that's in January.
Right.
And that was the only ones you care about because there's not another major until after her birthday.
Well, you got some U.S. tournaments coming up. You want to play out in California. You want to play down in Miami.
But you want to be in a major, though.
In Indian Wells.
You want to pay in a major.
Well, by the time the majors come, you have had another birthday.
No, you got one more. No, I'm saying, so I'm counting them out. If she's only got like five left, you do one more tune-up before the U.S. Open. Okay, so that's down to four. And the fourth one will be the U.S. Open. Okay, now she's got three left technically. You do one to two tune-up tournaments, and then that last one before her birthday is the Australian Open. So you get ready for a major. As opposed to doing one tune-up, you know she's going to play the Australian Open, and then just do one after that before her birthday. That way she can practice leading up to her 18th birthday. Boom, hit the ground running for the next season of majors. French Open will be the first one.
Right.
Right, so that'd be
and
in
she'll
May.
She'll have more tournaments.
Exactly.
They're good. I think
that's my strategy. If I was her manager,
the coming
I tell
year, I think they'll increase her number of tournaments to 12, I believe.
But all of this is to say that hopefully down the line, the BBT here in Atlanta will bring women into play other than an exhibition
they
do to start things off.
Well,
they
bring her for the exhibition because that's the other news that came out about her this week. She will play the exhibition match at the men's tournament in Winston-Salem, North Carolina before the U.S. Open.
With who?
She's not going to play.
Versus who?
She's going to play against Barty, who is now the number one player.
Okay.
She's going to play. They're going to play an exhibition on that Wednesday night up at Wake Forest University in Winston-Salem Open. Before the U.S. Open.
Coming up top of the hour, we're going to revisit what happened with the Braves last night. Game-winning hit, walk-off in extra innings, and how these guys are looking with the new acquisitions and how you just feel about this matchup with Cincinnati. Mr. Crenshaw can't stand them. We'll get into that, but up next, a shot at some jobs. Casting calls, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.